Hi everyone. Hi friends. And I have friends at this meeting that I recognize and that I know, and my heart feels so full. So I'm going to start with a set aside prayer today if anybody wants to close their eyes and join in. Higher power, please help us to set aside everything we think we know about ourselves, about our disease, and about our recovery. Help us to set aside everything we think we know about the 12 steps so we can have an open mind and a new experience today. Amen. So my name is Ray, and I am a compulsive eater and bulimic. And I remember the very first time I said those words out loud, which I think was at this very meeting about 4 years ago. And when I said them out loud, they tasted so bitter in my mouth, and they came along with so much shame. But today I say it on a daily basis, and that sentence tastes just like any other sentence in my mouth. It's just a truth about me, one that doesn't make me more or less. And my distorted relationship with food certainly did not creep up on me. It just smacked me in the face one day, like, wow, what are you doing? But looking back, now that my head is clear and I'm not living in a fog anymore, all of the signs were there. I had crashed my car trying to get a donut out of a box. Thank God myself and nobody was hurt. I had stopped from work on multiple drive-throughs on the way home, even after I already ate dinner. Just completely insatiable, eating until I cried in pain and could barely breathe. I felt like my stomach was taking up the space where like my lungs were, and I couldn't get a breath of air in. Having to call off work because my body was so swollen and bloated, spending money I didn't have on junk food, only in a moment of clarity to throw it away, but then minutes or hours later, buy more or eat it out of the trash, total insanity. But I told myself I was just doing my best. But the real craziest part is that it's not that I thought any of this was normal. It was that I wasn't thinking about it at all. It was just my life. I was living in a total fog. I was floating through life, completely disconnected from reality, like I'm watching from outside my body, and my disease had built this protective bubble around me where all of this insanity started to feel logical to me. I had to purge. I had to throw up. Like, what other option was there? The pain I felt, I deserved it. The desperation I felt became very commonplace, and it was totally exhausting. The time, the energy stole my life away, and OA was not the first thing I tried. I considered some extreme measures. I had thoughts of cutting the food out of my stomach because I wasn't a good enough bulimic. I signed up for eating disorder research studies at the local university. Went to inpatient treatment centers where they watched me eat and then sent me off to group therapy. I would drive around without my money or credit cards because I didn't trust myself and then be stranded without gas. I went to the shady doctor in town who I knew for the right price would give you what you wanted. And I wanted that magic pill that was going to make me stop eating. And I got it. And I kept on eating, So finally, I don't remember how I found OA, probably Googling, like, for the love of God, help me stop binging and purging. And I'm like, okay, I've heard of AA, whatever, I'm going to try this. And then the perfectionist in me hit the ground running, baby. I remember what they said to newcomers: attend six different meetings, done, get a sponsor, not a problem, I'll find one. Read the literature, I bought all the books. Work the steps. I took the steps. I don't know if I necessarily worked the steps. And because of that, every 30 days for about 2 years straight, kind of like clockwork, I would relapse. But I didn't need to tell my sponsor about those little relapses, those one that relapses that I could fix on my own, because I wanted to keep trucking through the steps. I wanted to graduate with high honors from this program that I now realize you do not graduate from. And I just did not understand. I had to fail. I had to relapse over and over again for 2 years to get to this place I am today. And I am so grateful for that because it brought me to this moment. So I'm going to go through the steps and share with you how I worked them the first time versus how I worked them the time when I saw recovery happen from them. So step one, admitting we're powerless over food. The first time through, I read that chapter in the OA 12 and 12. I'm like, oh yeah, I have no willpower, but that's not powerless, right? That it's cute. But the real step one is I have no control over food, period. Left to my own devices, I'm going to binge, I'm going to purge, I'm going to destroy myself. Like my very best thinking, all the logic, all the education that I have brought me to my rock bottom. Like I'm powerless. So, doing it again the second time, I found a much deeper level of powerlessness. Step two, coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. First time through the step, sure, God can help, but I've been asking him all along and he still hasn't done anything. But whatever you say, I highly doubt this OA sorcery is going to work. But read the chapter. Okay, I'll believe it. Check mark. On to step three. Going through the steps again, the real step two is realization that I make decisions around food that no sane person would make. And if I keep relying on myself, this disease will destroy me. Sanity is possible because I've listened to dozens and dozens of speakers like I'm doing today, and I heard the recovery, but it's only if I let someone else, not myself, run the show. Step three. Turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. First time through, once again, yeah, sure, no problem. Read the chapter. I believe that. I'll pray sometimes, but that's not true surrender. The real step three that I now understand is I am no longer in charge. I follow the direction of my sponsor and this OA program, even when I don't like it, even when I fully don't understand it. The first time through the steps, I tried to define my higher power, but now I really love this idea that my higher power can't be defined. If I could define it, how powerful would that really be? So I just know that something keeps this earth spinning. Something keeps the tides a-flowing, the birdies fed, the flowers blooming, and it ain't me, man. So let me follow this thing that has kept this earth alive for billions of years, and I'm going to trust that power. Okay. Steps four and five, make that searching and fearless moral inventory. The first time through, I picked a few big things to put on my list so I would look humble, but I didn't do a real step four. I didn't spend the quiet time. Just like I did the second time around, doing a full excavation, the ugly, the petty, the shameful stuff that I'd swore I would never tell anybody. And then reading that all to my sponsor, watching her not flinch and helping me see my part in the matter. And for the first time, that fog I was living in before, where I just was totally clueless, that fog and that weight of life really, really began to lift. And after that deep sharing of step five, I had this opportunity to go on a darkness retreat, which is exactly what it sounds like. Something I had booked 2 years earlier when I was desperate and my thought was lock me in a room so I can stop eating. But now, by the grace of God, this retreat has arrived right when I finished my step five. And I got into a plane and I flew out to the southern mountains of Oregon. And I get in this little tiny hut, no phone, no clock, no connection to the outside world. And I'm in a much better place than when I originally booked this retreat. I arrived there and the only light was from this one little tea light. And I thought, what a great place to do my steps six and seven. Here I am in the dark, and this time I'm not just going to ask God to make me perfect like I did the first time, but I am going to be truly ready to have him remove my defects. So on my knees, I asked for his help, like with all of the humility I could muster. It says in the literature somewhere, first we believe it intellectually, but then we come to believe it in our hearts. And that's what I felt this time. And I said the seven-step prayer and I blew out that candle. And I was in the dark, like absolute dark. You can't see your hand in front of your face, kind of dark. It was a little bit crazy. No schedule, no clock, no being able to say, oh, it's noon, it's time for lunch. The retreat leader brings your entire day's worth of food once a day and checks in on you, but you don't know what time it is. And I was so scared I was going to eat all the food all at once. My only guide was my body and my higher power. And I said, let me take this opportunity to try and listen to myself. And it took a while, but on that first day, I felt something I hadn't felt in a really long time, the small, quiet nudge of real hunger, like real hunger, not sugar withdrawal, not emotional craving, just my body ever so gently saying, hey, Ray, it's time to eat. It was like meeting this old friend, you know? I learned that my body and my higher power, they can speak to me, but I need to get quiet enough to hear it. And that's what step four and step five let me do. Clear out those resentments and fears. Stop thinking only about myself. Trust and surrender in this program. And in that darkness, I really learned it to listen. It was an amazing experience. And when I came out, I felt so much lighter, not just spiritually lighter, but ready for the next hard thing, which was step eight. And the first time I did step eight, I made a very short list of very safe people that it would have been easy to apologize to, and what the ones that deserved my apology. But the real step eight was truly seeing the ripple effect of my disease, how it affected my family, my friends, my coworkers, complete strangers, like big institutions, and becoming willing to face them even when I didn't know how it was going to go. And then step nine, actually making those amends. First time around, I remember sending a text to some people and just wanting to get it over as quickly as possible. But the real step nine, when I worked it again, it was face-to-face amends, owning exactly what I did, my part, without any excuses. And a lot of the times, most of the time, it healed relationships. And sometimes it didn't. But guess what? Either way, I walked out feeling lighter and closer to recovery. And then step 10, continuing to take that personal inventory. First time through the steps, I'll do a step 10 when I feel like it, when it's not inconvenient, and when it's a resentment that I can let go of. But like certain things aren't worthy of a step 10. No. Now I'm doing step 10 daily. It's a complete cleaning. It's admitting and promptly addressing my resentments, my fears, my dishonesty, because when those things pile up, I can't hear my body and my higher power like I did in the dark. Can't listen to it anymore. So what I did, you know, before I was eat to stuff those problems away and focus on the food instead of the challenges that will inevitably be arise in our life. I'm starting the step 11 the second time around with my sponsor next week. And the first time around, you know, I prayed, I talked at God. But step 11 is like two parts, I think. Praying, me talking, but then meditating, which is more importantly, me listening to my higher power's will. Yes, I want a piece of birthday cake at my sister's party. That's what I want, but my higher power wants something better for me. Yes, I want seconds after dinner. I'm not a robot. I still have these thoughts. I want things, but then I can hear my higher power tell me what they want for me, and I just follow that. And I'll be finishing step 12 before September, and that's having had a spiritual awakening. It's time to carry that message. I attempted step 12 and sponsoring before when I was not in a spiritual place to have been doing that. I'll help this person if I have extra time when it's not an inconvenience to me, but I'm only going to help sponsees who do this or do that. And I'm totally controlling the whole situation. And I ran away from a sponsee when they needed me because I didn't know how to help them and I relapsed. And now, coming to step 12 again very shortly, and I know it's going to be my lifeline. I need to cling on to steps 10, 11, and 12. Like a drowning person clings on to a life raft. I heard a speaker last week say that, and I realized I need to be more desperate because I'm feeling good now. I'm experiencing some food neutrality. This is when in the past I've taken a step back and rested on my laurels. Not this time. I'm holding on tight because I know this ship is going down the second I take the first bite.
5 minutes.
sharing my story. Thank you so much, Emily. Sponsoring, doing service, it is how I'm going to keep my recovery. I'm going to practice these principles in all my affairs, not just in this room, like living honestly, humbly, and in service everywhere in my life. I've had a spiritual experience, and what that means to me is that, like, being destroyed, demolished as a person, and rebuilt. That's my spiritual experience. I'm not drifting through life anymore. I'm not in a fog. I am here. I'm present. I am alive. I feel connected to my body. I feel connected to the people in my life and a higher power. I'm aware of my emotions. This is crazy. And yes, it's a lot of freaking work. And some days it's annoying and it's uncomfortable. And I don't want to do it, but this is the work in these rooms that gives me my life back. And I know with every bit of my heart, it's so worth it. I was invited to speak at this meeting also about 2 years ago. And I relapsed and had to last minute cancel. Here comes the shame and the guilt. I'm so grateful I didn't speak back then because I was not in a right spiritually place to be doing it. I even had thoughts of lying to the speaker seeker just so I could show up and people could say, look at me. But this is the full circle moment. I'm here now. I'm here today. I'm here back. I'm here recovered after listening to dozens and dozens of speakers in OA that I have gained hope from. I hope to offer a little hope as well, having walked through the steps now much deeper, way more honesty, and with a surrender I didn't have before. Today is an absolute gift, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I am here, present, and I'm alive. And recovery is possible. Thank you so much, guys.